Right now on VFN TV, we're going to be talking about remembering the Holocaust. We're actually going to go to Israel and see how they remember the Holocaust and never forget it every single year. And we're also going to go to the White House and talk about specifically how the president's cabinet, President Trump's cabinet leaders, these leaders are meeting for a Bible study in the White House and so much more right now on VFN TV.
To VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
And what Trump did was, Trump was risen up as the door was closing and judgment was coming on America, and we were heading down that road where our economy would have absolutely spiraled out of existence, and God put a mercy visit. Instead, he put a hard-nosed, prophetic Cyrus who stands there at the door and says, no, there's going to be an extension of peace and grace on America.
Whoever gets in, people are going to say, what?
I don't want to sound overly melodramatic, but this is probably the most astonishing night of American politics.
I have been looking around the room at people who are stone-faced. Some of them have been crying.
How did this happen? What? What is going on? What?
But the Lord showed me in this particular night vision, this dream, we were in this courtroom, the evil one was on trial, and the prosecutor looks at us and says, he's going to get convicted. And then all of a sudden, he turns it back towards the judge, and as soon as he turns to the judge, the gavel comes down, and the entire courtroom begins to feel like slices of gold, thin slices of gold, just started raining down in the courtroom nonstop. And he turns around to us. You can't even see across the courtroom. He points at us and says, I told you it was coming. When God deals with the evil one, the resources get released. There's going to be great resources coming.
We will be protected by God.
The name of Jesus got more attention that day than any inauguration I can ever remember.
In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.
Your heavenly Father, respectfully in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Glory to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, may my right hand forget its skill.
And this is the breakthrough year. Breakthroughs. There's that word breakthrough again.
The Lord told me there's a year of incredible breakthroughs coming to us. Long-awaited victories for us.
I am here tonight to deliver a message of unity and strength. And it is a message deeply delivered from my heart.
Well, I think the president, it's no secret, has made himself, made it very clear that he's a pro-life president. He wants to stand up for all Americans, including the unborn. And I think the reinstatement of this policy is not just something that echoes that value, but respects taxpayer funding as well. And ensures that we're standing up not just for life of the unborn, but for also taxpayer funds that are being spent overseas to perform an action that is contrary to the values of this president. I think continue to further illustrate, not just to the folks here in this country, but around the world, what a value we place on life.
Life is winning again in America.
What I hear most often as I travel the country are five words that never, ever fail to touch my heart. That's I am praying for you. I hear it so often. I am praying for you, Mr. President. Our republic was formed on the basis that freedom is not a gift from government, but that freedom is a gift from God. For us here in Washington, we must never, ever stop asking God for the wisdom to serve the public according to his will.
The alliance between Israel and America has always been extremely strong. It's about to get even stronger.
One of the big issues is the embassy Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. How important is it to repair this relationship, and what about that move of the embassy?
It's repaired.
It's repaired already?
It got repaired as soon as I took
it. 5 minutes?
Yeah, it's repaired.
I've known the president, and I've known his family and his team for a long time. And there is no greater supporter of the Jewish people and the Jewish state than President Donald Trump. I think we should put that to rest.
He proceeded to ask me, who did President Truman lean on to help get the Jews back in the Holy Land? I said, General Eisenhower. The Lord said to me, I have raised up Trump, and I am also giving him generals to help defend my people, the Jews, to keep them in their homeland. What was will be again.
We are also taking strong measures to protect our nation from radical Islamic terrorism. A quote by the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. In 1955, he told the world, we are determined to work and fight until justice runs down like water and righteousness like a mighty stream. Each American generation passes the torch of truth, liberty, and justice in an unbroken chain all the way down to the present. That torch is now in our hands, and we will use it to light up the world.
I dare not trust the sweetest flame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm Greg Lancaster, your host, and joining me just a moment is John Ramos. Today, we're going to focus on the Holocaust Remembrance Day. It's actually pronounced Yom HaShoah. And we're going to talk about how important it is to remember what took place. But first, let's find out a little bit of history, just brief history of the horrific Holocaust. Let's take a look.
A brief history of the Holocaust and World War II. In 1933, Adolf Hitler came to power in Germany. He believed that Germans were superior to others and Jewish people were the threat to the community. Hitler also targeted Poles, Romanians, blacks, Asians, homosexuals, and the disabled, basically anyone who was not pure German. Europe during World War II. Soon after becoming elected chancellor, Hitler began taking rights away from Jews. In 1935, Jews lost their citizenship and the right to marry non-Jewish persons. In 1938, thousands of synagogues and Jewish businesses were destroyed. Over 30,000 have been arrested for no other reason than being Jewish. Bystanders pass a destroyed business. Jews were to wear stars as identification. All Jews had to wear the star or face arrest. A Jewish business is being marked by a Nazi soldier. Jews lived in constant fear. Hitler showed himself as a hero to the Germans. He was saluted and revered by many. As Germany conquered nearby countries, Jews throughout Europe were in danger. Jews in Eastern Europe were removed from their homes and forced to live in ghettos. People were not allowed to leave these ghettos. It was overcrowded and there was not enough food. Furniture was used for firewood. Children begged for food. In 1942, the German government began implementing the final solution to rid them of Jews. Jews were sent to concentration camps where they were either did manual labor till they died or sent directly to death. cattle trains were used to transport the Jews. Auschwitz was the largest concentration camp. People were immediately selected for work or for death. Women had their heads shaved. Prisoners were beaten, tortured, and starved. Dead bodies were burned in crematoriums. By mid-1944, the Final Solution was nearly over. Remaining prisoners and camps were sent on death marches. Germany surrendered to the Allied forces on May 7, 1945. An estimated 12 million people were murdered.
It was the most horrific thing that you could even think about. And that's what we're remembering. That's what Israel remembers on this particular day each year. As a matter of fact, what they do is, well, they actually play a siren where all the people in Israel, all the Jews in Israel, stop and remember what? Remember exactly what we saw.
Today is Yom HaShoah, Israel's Holocaust Remembrance Day. I'm standing here on the roof of Honest Reporting's headquarters overlooking Jerusalem. And at exactly 10 o'clock, something incredible is going to happen. All over the whole country of Israel, sirens sound, and for exactly 2 minutes, everything stops.
That's horrific when you think about the Holocaust, but it's so important to remember. And notice how everybody stops and remembers and thinks back exactly what we just showed you, that brief snapshot of the horrific history. And it was somebody, understand, Hitler ran for office. He was the chancellor. They voted him in, which means you can vote evil in. So we have to stay on top of this. And I want you to get a different viewpoint, a different angle. As a matter of fact, imagine this camera angle when you're watching all over Israel, when they're honoring, and remembering the Holocaust and listening to that siren. This is a different angle. Take a look. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. This is so important. I'm so glad that they do that to remember where they came from. We need to do that in America, because America was birthed through bloodshed, through fighting for our freedom. but we want to honor Israel. And when we see Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu standing up for Israel, he's standing up and saying, we don't ever want to see that again. Not again. Not on my watch. That's what we're talking about. Listen, join us after the break, because after the break, we're going to hear President Trump as he actually has remarks on the Holocaust. And we're going to listen to a Holocaust survivor who was there in those camps. Join us after the break.
Conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I minister with a group of people that I just absolutely love, because all of us, we get tired, we want to quit every week, and we look at each other and go, no, let's go talk to some more people. I know we were all rejected yesterday. Let's keep going. That's what the body of Christ was supposed to do. We were supposed to gather together to stir one another up, to encourage, put courage into each other. And that's what this is about. Man, our prayer is that God would do something in our midst, that we really could walk away with greater courage.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. This is a day where we're remembering the Holocaust. And you think about it, you know, Israel does it once a year. And I mean, I just can't help but think, you know, we forgot where we came from.
Yeah.
We forgot the struggles that we have had. And we need to learn. You can learn so much stuff from Israel. They're
amazing,
so wise.
Nation, isn't it?
Yeah, just
and we've had a lot of struggles. I mean, it would take some time, but it's the appropriate thing to do.
Yeah,
and I think that's why they're so successful. One of the reasons why they're so successful and they're blessed is they take time, because things change.
Things change. Well, the museum, when you go to Washington D.C., you see the Lincoln, and you see different ones. But we need some. It needs to be right in front of us. Yeah. As a matter of fact, President Trump, he actually has some remarks about the Holocaust and remembering it right now.
I am deeply honored to speak with you tonight as the World Jewish Congress gathers in New York City with the leaders from across the world. First, I want to thank Ronald Lauder, not only for his many years of friendship, and he truly has been my good friend. He even predicted early that I was going to win the presidency, but also for his leadership of this organization. He's done a fantastic job. Today we're reminded of this organization's long and heroic history fighting for the Jewish people. Your brave leaders warned the world of the planned atrocities that sought to extinguish an entire people. On Yom HaShoah, we look back at the darkest chapter of human history. We mourn, we remember, we pray, and we pledge never again. I say it, never again. The mind cannot fathom the pain, the horror, and the loss. 6 million Jews, two-thirds of the Jews in Europe, murdered by the Nazi genocide. They were murdered by an evil that words cannot describe and that the human heart cannot bear. On this Holocaust Remembrance Day, we tell the stories of the fathers, mothers, and children whose lives were extinguished and whose love was torn from this earth. We also tell the stories of courage in the face of death, humanity, in the face of barbarity, and the unbreakable spirit of the Jewish people. Today, only decades removed from the Holocaust, we see a great nation risen from the desert, and we see a proud Star of David waving above the State of Israel. That star is a symbol of Jewish perseverance. It's a monument to unyielding strength. We recall the famous words attributed to Theodor Herzl, "If you will it, it is no dream. If you will it, it is no dream." Jews across the world have proved the truth of these words day after day. In the memory of those who lost, we renew our commitment and our determination not to disregard the warnings of our own times. We must stamp out prejudice and anti-Semitism everywhere it is found. We must defeat terrorism, and we must not ignore the threats of a regime that talks openly of Israel's destruction. We cannot let that ever even be thought of. To all of you tonight who have come from around the world, let it be known, America stands strong with the State of Israel. The meaning of that state for so many is captured by the words of a German Jewish musician. Escaping Germany before 1937, he settled in the ancient land of Israel. Sometime later, he received a visit from a British official who found him living in a hut with only his piano for company. The official recognized the musician, and he said, "This must be a terrible change for you." The musician looked back at him and replied, "It is a change from hell to heaven." Many of you here today help fulfill the same dream, the dream of Israel for millions, a dream that burned in the hearts of oppressed and fallen, and which now draws the breath of life from a joyous people each and every day. Thank you for your leadership, for your service, and for your vision of a world that is a more free, just, and peaceful place for all of God's people. Thank you, and God bless you all.
Well, I'll tell you what, this president, President Trump, is just standing up for America, standing up for Israel. He's great friends with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, and I'm so grateful that he's remembering the Holocaust and the evil that it was, and that we don't want to repeat it again. And one of the prophetic words that was given by Pastor John Kilpatrick of Church of His Presence, that God spoke to him, that God was raising up President Donald Trump and giving him generals to protect Israel so that that wouldn't happen again.
To keep the Jews there.
Right, right. Well, listen, I want to tell you about this. You know, we are excited to tell you we have launched VFNTV's YouTube channel. We are out there. We had people request it. I'm very excited about it. You know, you can simply go to it by going to VFNTV.com and click on YouTube, or you can go to YouTube.com/VFNTV. But I wanted you to know that we are out there in YouTube. We have an audience now that stretches all around the world that's joined us in other ways as well. And we thank you for watching, and you can subscribe to us. As a matter of fact, you know, you can go there and check every from time to time about new, because almost every day new content's coming out there. But one way to make sure that you be notified that content is happening is you go there and you press the button subscribe. You can see that button here probably. Just press that button. It doesn't cost you nothing. It's just a thing that happens. And then you'll be notified every time new materials put up on the YouTube channel. That's right, VFNTV. We're now on YouTube. It's youtube.com/VFNTV, or just go to VFNTV.com and click on YouTube. Well, you know, John, when we're remembering the Holocaust, and you had a chance to go to the museum.
Yes.
I think we went to New York.
New York and in Israel.
And I've been to the one in Israel and D.C., I believe. Yeah. And
in New York. We went together.
Oh, that's right. New York. That's right. And it just rips you apart.
Yeah.
But it's so important to remember, because if you don't remember history, you're doomed to repeat it.
Doomed to repeat it. At the same time, we have leaders around the world, believe it or not, who actually tried to deny that this event actually
happened.
And we
just showed evidence just in a short period of time. I mean, when people deny your pain, watch out, they're about to cause you some more pain.
That's right.
And you look, and not only 6 million Jews were killed just for being Jewish, but they were also 5 million other folks. What's all the noise coming from?
That chair, fast chair.
We'll fix the camera. We need to fix it. We don't want a bad shot. Go ahead, fix it. Okay, got it? That was very loud. It was coming over the mic.
Sorry.
Okay.
Steve, read back.
Okay. All right. It's so important to remember from where you came from. You know, you see some actors and you see some people that do good in life. They actually go back to where they came from.
Yeah.
You know, to remember where they came from. They say, don't forget where you came from, and some people do. But we have to remember, because we'll end up there again. As a matter of fact, we almost were headed in that direction. This is a Holocaust survivor, John. And she's being interviewed and asked these questions. And we need to listen to her because she went through this, and there's nothing better than hearing directly from the person that went through this and how horrific it is that we don't want to repeat that. And she talks specifically, too, about, you know, that Israel deserves its own state. It has to have its own state. There's no other place for the Jews to be in the context of their own nation to be protected. And that's why Israel has to stand, and we have to stand with Israel, because they're being persecuted in other lands. As a matter of fact, it's gone up even higher. Lately, the numbers have as well. Christians, I think Christians now are higher than the Jews being persecuted. But listen, I want you to hear, this is a Holocaust survivor.
Hey everyone, today I'm with a very special guest, a Holocaust survivor called Ida Greenberg.
Yes.
Yes, she survived Lodz Ghetto in Poland. She's 95 years old. I will be interviewing her, asking her a few questions that I had. את חשבת שאת תעברי את השואה בשלום?
אף אחד לא ידע מה שהיה גיהנום. אז אף אחד לא ידע מה יהיה מחר. גיטלר, בשביל מה הוא קם? הוא רק מיליונים יהודים. אז מי ידע שישאר בחיים?
What was your only wish at that time? Do you remember? Of course, I remember. I wanted to see my parents, but no. I didn't manage to see them. They came at night and took them, the Nazis, and I was left, a 15-year-old girl, alone. And I cried and cried, and I thought, what will happen? How can I know? It was impossible to know who will even stay alive. It was very hard. What would you tell people that deny the Holocaust? People who say it never happened. No. There's no such thing. It happened. And in every family of survivors, there is a remaining wound. How can someone say that it didn't happen? What is the importance of the State of Israel in your opinion? The State of Israel should exist. And it's the place of the Jews. We don't have another place in the world like Israel. What can we do? This is our home. Thank you so much for sharing your story with us. You're welcome. And for answering the questions. I wish only health. Thank you very much.
Oh my goodness, you just want to be able to give her a big hug and just love on her. And it's just so huge. I mean, she survived that.
95 years old.
And she was 15, right? When her parents were taken away and her friends were taken away. Just because you're a Jew. And you have to understand that there's a reason why that that people who are controlled by darkness hate Christians and Jews, because God, God loves you. God's got a plan for you. They can join in, but they have to deny their gods and make, you know, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob their God through His Son, you know, Jesus Christ. And so it's just, you know, I just thank God that they're remembering. We're remembering today. We want you to remember as well. And speaking of where we are in this day and time, you know, America originally had 13 colonies. And we were kind of just stuck up in the northeastern part of the continent. But we had to begin to expand with our different presidents that were going on, and different people in the population were saying, listen, we're getting too packed in here. We got to spread out some. And all of a sudden they said, you know what? Everybody that goes west, the western part of America, across west of the Mississippi, that we'll give you the land. We'll give you the territory. We'll give you, as a matter of fact, if you go farm it, you go produce on it, the president at that time said, you know what? We will give you a title deed to that property. But you had to be willing to go beyond the divide. You had to be willing to go where no man's gone before. It was risky. Many people gave their life. But that's the great divide, they call it. Going, you know, manifest destiny, they call it, you know, going west. And people did it. And now we have California, we have Colorado, we have these different states. But that's where, you know, where we are today. We're right now today in the great digital divide. And people are looking at the great digital divide and they're saying, I'm too scared and there's lions, tigers, and bears out there and I'm satisfied here. But you know, as Christians, we got to make up our mind. What are we going to do making sense of our new digital culture? Guess what? We have a gift for you. We want to send this to you. the digital divide, making sense of the new digital divide. We've got to be brave enough to go in and preach the gospel where people are. And the great harvest of souls is coming virtually. As a matter of fact, we're speaking to you right now. It's because of technology. You're watching television because of technology. You're watching YouTube because of technology. You're listening to a stream because of technology. But it's time for us to go further and go all the way out there, reaching everyone on the... I mean, we got hundreds in... It's amazing the millions of people that are listening and watching what's going on. We thank you. But we want everybody to understand. We got to get out there and begin to preach the message, be the light in the digital divide. As a matter of fact, here's the details. I want to give this to you for your gift of any amount whatsoever. Take a look.
Offer 2031, the digital divide, making sense of our new digital culture. Where do Christians fit in this digital age in our culture? We are without a doubt at a point with technology, which is like the continental divide in America. Which way will the water decide to go after coming all the way from Canada? Will it go east or will it go west? In this message, we'll take a raw look at the facts, such as Oxford saying 47% of jobs are at risk because of technology taking those jobs from truck driving to service jobs to what one says is 15% of all the jobs on the earth. You'll be enlightened with God's word and how to look at the age in which we now live, and you'll learn how to approach it from a kingdom perspective. If you've been confused and not sure of how to approach this age of technology, you'll gain a clear direction. And I believe your mind will be transformed in how to operate in such a time and age. It's vital to have this wisdom, for we are close to the end times becoming now times, one of which is to do with technology and a beast economy and how we do business in the world. We want to send you this offer for a gift of any amount. You can become a partner by going to VFNTV.com and clicking on Partner Now. Or you can write to us at VFNTV. That's 40 West 9 Mile Road, number 2, PMB 360, Pensacola, Florida, 32534. Or you can call us at 844-408-3688. That's offer 2031, the digital divide, making sense of our new digital culture.
This is VFNTV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Can a student use Christian music for a talent show at their school? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulo.
A friend of my daughter's tried out for their middle school talent show audition using a Christian song, and she was told she could be in the show, but she would have to choose another song, and I was wondering if that was an infringement of her free speech.
Tracy, it sure is. She's allowed to utilize in a talent show, in a presentation, a song that has religious content, a religious message, or a Christian song. In fact, there's Department of Education guidelines specifically on that point. Christian music is not banned when it's a student selection. They're allowed to make the selection. They could choose to include a Christian song as part of it. So again, as we just did previous call, we're going to get you in touch with our lawyers here at the ACLJ and get some help there. Again, if there's a talent show, the students are allowed to select the material. They cannot be banned simply because the material is religious in content or Christian in its orientation.
For more information about student rights, visit us on our website at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
Hi, my name is John Maxwell. Welcome to Minute with Maxwell. I'm going to talk to you about goals because Anford Gale from New York, New York, who's a manager, wanted me to do that. I was sitting at a round table with executives one day, and a person that is highly successful, I could tell, was a little discouraged. He said, John, I've hit every goal of my life. And now I basically have lost my motivation and my passion. And I looked at him. I called him by name. I'll say Don. That wasn't his name. I said, Don, the problem is you've been goal-oriented instead of growth-oriented. You see, if you and I are just goal-oriented, when we hit our goals, it's kind of like Eureka. We've arrived, we celebrate, have a party, but then all of a sudden there's an emptiness like, okay, I've hit it. But if you're growth-oriented and establish goals within your growth-oriented journey, you'll hit those goals, but you'll look at it and say, hey, this is just another step towards my total growth. And I've never known a person who said, John, I've grown as big as I can ever grow, and I know as much as I can ever know, and so therefore I have nothing to accomplish. You see, if you're goal-oriented, you'll hit your goal and then be a little empty. But if you're growth-oriented, You'll never hit that goal. Just keep growing. It'll be fulfilling, and it is a journey that you will never forget.
Welcome back to VFN-TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back to VFN-TV. I'm so excited about what's happening, John, at the White House.
There's a lot of exciting things
about the White House. But they're actually coming together in the White House now, and they're praying. The cabinet. Now, CBN's reporting that the cabinet, the president's cabinet,
are praying.
Yeah, I can't wait. We got this program coming. We got to see it. I mean, they did Easter all in the White House lawn. It was the most beautiful. Like, it was like heavenly.
Wow.
I mean, they had the cabinet members were reading storybooks to the children, and they were looking for Easter eggs, and it just seemed like, oh my goodness, this is like, you know,
it's cool.
Yeah, it was just very powerful. But they're having CBN News is reporting that they're coming together and they are meeting and studying the Bible. That's what it says. They said that the members of the President Trump's cabinet are gathering together for prayer weekly. Hmm. Vice President Mike Pence and 8 cabinet secretaries, they say, sponsor the session, which occurs weekly in Washington, D.C.
Wow.
Isn't that cool?
That's very cool. Yeah. Imagine the discussions and when they can come together and pray and have these Bible studies.
They're seeking God. The cabinet.
It's a blessing
God.
On the nation.
Yeah. Cabinet seeking God. And it also said, you know, this is led by the founder of Capital Ministries, Ralph Drolinger, who started working on arranging the Bible study during Trump's team transition time. There he's transitioning
his team.
That
whole period of time, this was made in prayer.
Listen to the sponsors. Time. The sponsors include Vice President Pence, Secretary Betsy Ross is over education.
DeVos.
Yeah, Betsy DeVos. And then we have Ben Carson, who's over at HUD, right? House and Urban Development. You have Sonny Perdue, who is actually over at agriculture. He just got approved. Over the agriculture. Rick Perry, Secretary Rick Perry, who was a former governor of Texas. He's there sponsoring it as well. And he's, of course, over the
energy,
which is nuclear energy as well. Environmental Protection Agency. You got Jeff Sessions. Tom Price is over the health care. Jeff Sessions is over the head law enforcement officer over the land. Scott Pruitt over the CIA. And you actually have Mike Pompeo, who's the director of the CIA.
Right.
And you think of these guys, these men and women. I mean, think how awesome this is.
These are huge cabinet
level
decisions.
They're turning to God. They're making huge decisions. This is huge. I mean, even Ahab, who was an evil dude, when he turned to God, God told the prophet, said, I know what you said, but go back and talk to him again because he humbled himself. God's going to honor all this. What you're seeing right now, and we're not even paying much attention to it. You're not going to hear much about it on BFN-TV. But it's just like, it's like a kid not going to get their way. People are screaming and hollering. I'm seeing this more and more. I'm noticing and seeing what happened when the governmental transition happened between Ahab and Jezebel, who was king, he was king and she was queen, to when Jehu came in. Mm. And you're watching right now, even the Democratic National Convention just declared, I believe their leader of it, that you have no place in the Democratic National Convention if you're pro-life, if you're for not killing children.
Yes.
I mean, they're forcing people, it looks like, out of their party if you're pro-life. And it's like, oh my goodness to me, but think about this. That's what happened with Jehu when he was separating the people and he was transitioning. He had removed Jezebel. Ahab was gone and he was going to remove all the leaders. They gathered them all together. It's almost like they're concentrating people who are against life in one particular party, right? That's what you would think.
Yeah. You got to be clear.
It's interesting. It's called a party. And it was a party. They threw a bell party when they were going to. This is the new transitional officer. Jehu, who was the leader of the government, chosen by God, anointed by God, that nobody even knew about because it happened like secretly. Mm. And all of a sudden he comes out there. He comes in there. He deals with the wrong leadership. He comes into place. And then he actually throws a party, a bell party. And so everybody that had that bell worship and they didn't worship God, which was false gods and all this crazy stuff. And so it's interesting that it was a party. And now a party. You know, we're not talking parties here, but literally it's called a party. Isn't it called a party?
Yeah.
And they're kind of gathering people who just, and when you think about Baal, you got to think about Moloch and Asherah. Moloch is where they sacrificed babies. They sacrificed children. And this is the one God, which is no God at all, that God hated the most.
Yeah.
And so they're saying, we want to declare this is Moloch's party. Mm. Right? That's what we were saying. Yeah. It's like, you can't, if you're not for life, You can't be here. In life in the womb, you can't be here.
These lines are being more defined more than ever.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to find out, right. You know, people got to find out what side are you going to be on.
Right.
This matter of being indecisive and not knowing what place you're going to be is not where, you know, not the place. You got to decide.
Well, that's what Mount Carmel was all about, was a place of a mountain of decision. And they had to decide, choose who you're going to serve, who's going to be your God. And that's what that was. It's like we're being brought to that. This has been, if you've been listening and watching, it was 5 years now coming this May. You know, God called us out to do what we're doing. And we've been prophesying, you know, about this day. And it's a battle between, you know, the spirit
and
of Elijah.
And hold on, not everyone's going to like this. I mean, when you stand for
everybody's
truth.
Going to bell party. Or
yeah. When you stand for truth, but people get, you know, we wanted to change, but we didn't know it was going to cost us. Oh, yeah, it's going to cost you. You got to be able to stand up for those that are standing up for God and standing up for His values.
And what's so exciting is if you understand, you can trust the Creator of the universe who's holding everything together. You can trust Him. He's got your back. All you got to do is just say, God's my God. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's my God. Jesus is my Lord. And He's going to deal with everybody else.
Because
He's fixing to deal. The sword of heaven, as Chuck Pierce prophesied, is coming to the earth. And the seed of the righteous, what the Lord told me, the seed of evil is coming down, and the seed of the righteous is going to rise. We're watching that take place. And so it's not necessarily a negative thing when people kind of coagulate together that are in one mindset, because it kind of helps God deal with
it. Being clear, isn't it?
Yeah. It may be the end of that party as
just
you
take
know it.
Two steps to the left.
Yeah, right. Don't show up at the party. As a matter of fact, Jehu, which I think is so cool, is that, you know, Jehu went through the crowd to make sure none of people who had a heart for God, because sometimes you can end up in a wrong place. And he looked through there. They're all human beings, but there was people who did not have that in their heart. And there's people that are part of some party system here in America, but that's not in your heart. But now they're saying, if it is in your heart that you want life, you can't even be here, according to the reports and what's going on.
Yeah.
Before we go into break, also, he goes on to say in this prayer, so our leaders are seeking God at the top of Mount Carmel, if you would. I mean, they're praying to God and seeking God and studying the Bible.
Thank you, Lord.
It goes on to say, it says, in this article by CBN, these are some of the influential people in the U.S. government gathered together weekly for themselves for spirituality, you know, growing spiritually. In terms of country's health and direction, when its leaders are seeking God, the nation is in position to be blessed by God in ways that are far more abundantly beyond than one could ask or even think, Drollinger says.
That's beautiful.
I mean, think it's like Ephesians 3:20. I mean, Ephesians 3:20 says this. Now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all you can ask or imagine according to the power that is worked within us.
Mm.
So he's saying, listen, this God that we're meeting with, you don't have to put your mind around it, because if you put your heart in it, I mean, God's going to move powerfully. He goes on to say, he says, Capital Ministries, which is his ministry right there, also hosts a weekly Bible study in the White House Senate. The ministry has started Bible studies in a number of state capitals, but also they're actually looking to expand an international capital. So they're carrying
beautiful.
The gospel. And the first book printed in America was printed by the Congress, right?
Yeah.
And it was the Bible.
Yeah.
They printed the Bible, and we're back to the original intent.
Praise thank you, Lord.
God. And he goes and says, this has been a wonderful time of prayer and fellowship as I presently am teaching through the Sermon on the Mount. So they're teaching the Sermon on the Mount in the White House, the Capitol. I mean, the one ahead of education and housing and CIA and all that. It's like, we got to get behind these guys and pray
this
for them.
Good.
We're supposed to pray for those in the leadership. And he even gives them homework assignments for particular topics to be able to study on. And leaders of the Bible goes on to say, leaders of the Bible study say that President Trump has always been invited to be able to join them there. And prayer has been an evident part of the administration, with pastors often praying over Trump throughout the entire campaign. Mm.
And this is true. We saw that from the campaign all the way to the inauguration.
All the way.
We've never seen an inauguration with that much prayer and Jesus being lifted up as much as he was.
Right. We've got to be careful. So when God raises up a Jehu to deal with something, we've got to just say, you go, God, and just pray for those in authority over you. Listen, we get back from this break, we're going to go, what is it like to be in Israel, to be Jewish, to be a Christian, and be a soldier in the Israeli Defense Force? Join us at the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com.
We'll be right back.
Distractions. Confusion. Division. We try to look past it, but in reality, it's ripping us apart. This generation is facing a crisis. Many are turning their back on each other and on the church. It seems that the love that we are capable of is being diffused. Something has got to change. Something is too late. But we are the ones who believe. We serve one God who can change everything. One love, one hope, one moment can change our culture, our city, and our nation. And that moment is now. On April 29th, 2017, we are calling every believer to the streets of Mobile. We want every area, every corner of our city to be covered by a massive canopy of prayer. We can be a uniting force, prayerfully and strategically appealing to heaven for a godly change in our city. We will be one family, one city, together, who believe.
Welcome back. Well, listen, can you imagine, because you're Jewish, you're in Israel, you're Jewish and you're in Israel, and you're going to be, you find salvation through Jesus Christ, who also is a Jew, you know, he's Jewish, and you get saved, you give your life to God, like Peter and the apostles and all that. And so you're the first followers of Jesus. We're Jews. Jesus is a Jew. So it's not an odd thing, but it is, it seems to be because of some of the history. Well, imagine we have this young man right here. He is a soldier in the Israeli Defense Force. When you hear IDF, that's what you're always going to hear. What they're really talking about is their military. The military is called the Israeli Defense Force. And so he has a perspective. What's it like to be, because we talked about the different, we talked about all the battles that were taking place and all the missiles that are being fired up. Well, this guy, he was in a tank as a Christian during that time, and all he had was the Bible to comfort him. But listen what it's like, because he explains, what's it like to be a Christian Jew in the military in Israel? Let's go there now.
Hi there. My name is Hanania. So today, I just want to chat with you guys about what it's like living in Israel and being a Christian in the Israeli army. But firstly, I get asked a lot, how is that possible that I'm both Jewish and Christian? And I'm kind of tired to write the same answer each time. So I'm Jewish by blood and I'm Christian by heart. Jesus himself was a Jew, so I don't understand why some people get confused with this. So with that being said, let's get to the point. I'm serving in the IDF for over 2 years now. I was a tanker for about a year, and then I went to military medical school and became a combat medic. Now, being a Christian in the army could be quite challenging. When I was a tanker, I used to keep the Bible with me inside the tank so that even if we go on long missions, I can still get my spiritual food. My tank crew didn't have any problem with that, but my tank driver one day came to me and said that on a Sabbath meal, he told his family about me being a Christian and me holding the Bible inside a tank. And his uncle told him to go to the tank commander and tell him that he, the tank driver, is not willing to be in the tank with me because that Bible is like a curse on us, the crew. Well, I pretty much laughed about it because it doesn't make any sense. And I thank God that I had a good crew that accepted me the way I am. Because some believers in the army, they get insults for being Christians. Also in the Gaza War, I kept my Bible inside a tank because we weren't able to get out of the tank. And the Bible was literally a charger to my spirit. Just like we charge our phones to give them power, the Bible had strengthened me during those times in Gaza. Whenever I felt down during the operation, I opened my Bible in the dusty tank, and God had encouraged me many, many times through His Word. I remember that right before I joined the IDF, I was quite worried, what will the soldiers think of me when they will catch me opening my Bible? But then I realized that I don't need to adjust myself to society. If they don't accept me the way I am, it's not my problem. It's for God to solve using me. I also decided not to talk that much about Jesus because of one thing. Jews are very, very sensitive. They are hurt from the history with Germany, the Holocaust, and it's an open wound for many Jewish people. And they are also heard from the Crusaders that killed Jews that didn't want to convert to Christianity. So to many Jewish people, the word Jesus symbolizes the Crusaders that killed Jews. They even gave Jesus a nickname that kind of curses him. Instead of saying Yeshua, they say Yeshu, which stands for May His Name and Memory Be Forgotten. So, do you understand now how sensitive Jews are? So I decided not to talk about Jesus, but to show Jesus through my actions. And actually, many soldiers come to me with questions about Jesus and my faith, and that gives me opportunities to share the gospel with them. And in case you didn't know, in Israel, Christians are a minority. So, especially in the army, away from home, away from our Christian friends, it becomes a challenge for us, the believing soldiers, to light up. So on that note, I want to ask you to keep the believing soldiers in your prayers, and also share this video with your friends so that they will be able to understand and also pray for the Christian soldiers in Israel. Because let me tell you a secret, for some Christians in the IDF, every day is a hard battle. Thank you so much for watching. Feel free to invite your friends to subscribe to my YouTube channel or on Facebook. And don't forget to leave me a comment. I do read them. Remain in God. In the IDF, we do it with the right hand, so let me reverse it. Remain in God. Love you.
That's so powerful. We so appreciate him sharing it. And we encourage you to go to his YouTube channel and to subscribe and watch his material. And this is a brother.
Yes.
This is a brother in the Lord and a bold one. And just I'm excited about even hopefully getting a chance to meet him and talk to him, maybe having him on VFN TV. We can
sure.
Skype in from Israel. We love Israel. And we've never had that look inside. You know, we've had people on the program that serve the IDF, but mm-hmm. in regards to actually being
the
IDF and talking from that perspective of being Israeli, being a Jew, and being a Christian, that's just so informative. It makes you just your heart go out to all of them.
Yeah.
And to be praying for everybody, all those soldiers. You know, when Pat and I were there, Pat Hamilton and myself were there, it was just so young. People were so young, and because you got to serve, there used to be a 2-year mandatory time you had to serve in the military. I think it's a good
still is.
It's a good thing, and all genders, and it was just it's just something you have to do. So you're actually shopping while you're looking at young soldiers with a rifle right beside you, standing at the doorway, having a conversation with somebody over.
I felt very safe in Israel. Yeah.
Yeah, very very safe, and you know, it's just an amazing country. We don't always pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray and remember the Holocaust. Never forget it, and share this. With your friends and family, letting them know, listen, we have to always remember because we don't ever want to repeat that. As a matter of fact, the Lord says, never again. Mm. The apple of his eye. And I want to pray for you right now. I want to pray for you, and I want to pray for Israel. Will you join me in that? Father God, we just lift up Israel to you right now, Father God, and the Jews that are in Israel, and the Jews that are all over the place, and the Jews that are here in America. But we just speak a blessing over them and protection, Lord, this anti-Semitism, this racism towards Jews. God, that you would end it in the land and you would actually protect Israel. And we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, Lord. And we pray for the Israeli Defense Force, Lord, that you would keep them safe and give them wisdom, Father God. Lord, and all the survivors of the Holocaust, God, that you would just comfort them, Father God. And we pray for them to be saved, Lord the God. And we pray, Lord, for us to remember the horrific things that happened in the past so that they wouldn't have to be repeated again. God, we pray for this land, God. We thank you for our president who's having his cabinet do a Bible study, focusing on you, Lord. Hear our cry, we pray, Lord God. And we ask you, Lord, end abortion in this land.
Yes, Lord.
Send revival. Send a third great awakening, we pray. In Jesus' name, God bless.
We want to give special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information. Phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at VFNTV.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.
We found another way how you can stay connected with VFN Radio. It's the Torch newsletter. Every week, the Torch goes out into your email, whether it's on your phone, tablet, or home PC. The Torch newsletter is going to give you the best of the best of VFN radio for that week. It's also going to give you all the latest highlights. Of course, you can sign up by going to VFNTV.com and selecting newsletter sign up, or you can text VFNTV at 22828 and type in your email address. Sign up for the Torch newsletter now.